B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Toucher and Rich. And whatever this is.
This son of Dad and Rick Flair, them nepotism.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, by the way, did you hear? I, for some reason, I thought this was Rage. This isn't Rage Against the Machine, right? Is it?
No, this is Rage.
Okay. So, we play one bed that's a Rage Against the Machine ripoff. And yes, this is, of course, Rage Against the Machine. But, you know, they were originally supposed to do Boston Calling, which got rescheduled. You know, they had to cancel, so they got a new lineup. Remember, the Chili Peppers were originally on the lineup, and then they're doing the Fenway thing. And now it's official. The Foo Fighters have canceled their entire tour, and they're not going to be doing Boston Calling as well as all of the other festivals and shows they're supposed to do. I mean, it's ridiculous to ask them to just jump right back on the horse and do this.
No, that would be really weird.
Well, I mean, I think the Stones got back out after Charlie Weiss died fairly quick. I'm sorry, Watts. You know, Charlie Weiss on the drums. Stage has a little bit of a tilt to it.
Yeah.
But
he had gastric bypass.
He did.
You say the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you mean...
What are you doing? Is that your ringtone?
The guy from Cantatonic Youth just took about 18 shows of the Red Hot Chili Peppers where they play that show and just play that song and just get it down to sking gang gong book a dang dang ding ring ding
dang. So yeah, so the
boy, they're a bad man.
They used to be a great band.
No one liked Mother's Milk more than me.
It was one of my favorite albums when it came out. And I loved it, and I didn't like it at first. But when Blood Sugar Sex Magik came out, I remember it was so different than Mother's Milk. I hated it at first. And now I love that album. It's a great album.
I never got over it. So this is interesting. This will be interesting to everyone. So Anthony Kiedis' dad's name is Blackie. And there's a couple stories. One in Mark Lanegan's book. He talks about how he's at a show, and there's this like creepy dude with these two girls that seem kind of underage, and he goes, "You want to come back to my place?" And he's like, "All right." And it's like this dilapidated place in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it's like a big place, but it's dilapidated. And long story short, Mark Lanegan from Screaming Trees starts getting kind of uncomfortable with the whole situation, asks to go to the bathroom. Goes into the bathroom, and in the bathroom, it's just all these pictures of Anthony Kiedis. And he realizes this is Anthony Kiedis' dad, and he's hooking up with this chick that looks like she's 15.
Oh, geez.
So then there is something on the internet that you yourself can enjoy about Blackie, Anthony Kiedis' dad, explaining about how he would give Anthony a little bit of acid and let him smoke a little bit of weed when he was 12, and how he thought it was a good idea to have him have sex with one of his friends while he was very, very young.
Oh, jeez.
So he could be the first person at school to say that they had gotten laid. And it's this guy justifying this insane behavior. And it's so Anthony Kiedis, I don't know if I can blame him.
Sure.
He seems to be like he was a little behind the eight ball to start things off.
And I guess if you're ever late to your kid's baseball game, then you just realize, hey, you know what? At least I'm not Anthony Kiedis' dad.
Yeah, I didn't give him acid and like organize an orgy for which to him.
Suddenly I feel a lot better. This is great.
There's whole other levels of parenting that you're probably not privy to.
All right. By the way, can imagine Dragons Phil Fenway? Like they're coming with Macklemore.
And I'm
like,
they're going to give it a shot. No, Macklemore is the draw.
Now, imagine Dragons back in the day. It wasn't back in the day, but I mean, but
like three years ago.
Yeah. They were one of the biggest bands in the world. Like, they had.
What was
like
their song?
They had a bunch of them.
Welcome to the new day.
Welcome to the new day.
Well, they also had, what was the other? I mean, they had like four. Radioactive. There was also, oh God, Thunder.
Yes.
Oh, Thunder. That's right.
Okay, so everyone knows I'm a huge Always Sunny in Philadelphia fan.
Yeah.
There is something that Rob McElhenney does with his wife, Caitlin Olson, who's on the show, is Dee. That is inexcusable in that at an Imagine Dragons have a video where both Rob McElhenney and the singer of Imagine Dragons are dancing shirtless around his wife. and they're both in tremendous shape. And then sure enough, when they played L.A., who's on stage but one Rob McElhenney.
Did he have a shirt off?
With his shirt off. And there is something about a comedian when they get Piscopo-y.
Mm-hmm. Kind of loses.
They get all muscly.
Yeah, and you get Carrot Toppy there. Like,
yeah, that's
right. Like, you can be in good shape, yeah. Right?
Well, Carrot Top. I mean, poor Carrot Top. I mean, the dude was born with that. You know, and looking like that, you got to work out.
Plus, he's compensating for all the people who think he's a hack. But there is something about reaching that level, like really getting after it, like where their entire existence has been spent trying to achieve this body where they immediately become less funny. everyone else on the show is in good shape. Yeah. Charlie Kelly is in good shape, and Glenn Howerton's in good shape. I don't know why they're not taking their shirts off all the time.
Well, I guess that they're going to get a new headliner for Boston Calling for Friday. I mean, that's a big name to replace.
It could be. Do we have the audio that Rich wants to do here?
Well, Fred, what were you saying, Dan? Yeah,
just real quick, that all three original bands have canceled.
Yeah,
on them.
Yeah, Rage Against the Machine, and maybe they'll
Chili Peppers.
Because I think Rage Against the Machine, the reason they're not doing it is because they're starting the tour
in July.
Month later.
Yes, the tour starts July.
How great would it be if they said, you know what, we need you, and they're going to be throwing Foo Fighters money at these guys too. I mean, they've got a bunch of money to spend, and you're going to have to replace them with someone huge.
Level band do you have to be to achieve that?
Well, you see, I thought that I thought it was huge, and then I saw that the Strokes are on Saturday night, so I guess you don't have to be that big to headline.
What band that might be out there? Sorry, that's not already scheduled a summer tour,
dude,
that you could throw money at.
I mean, I'm sure that Kay Hanley's available, and Letters to Cleo.
If Kate Hanley puts anything on Twitter, look no further than the Baseball Writers of America to be right on top of that the minute it comes out. Now, do we have this audio that you wanted to play?
I don't know. Is it in there? The commercial from yesterday that Fred wanted to put there? Okay. Is this who you're saying should headline it?
All right, because it has to be cut up. It can't be the whole commercial. It has to be cut up. It's got to have the beginning of it. And then just the end of it with the noodling. It's really an esoteric thing that Rich wants me to talk about on the air. that no one else is going to understand why I'm doing it. Yeah, it needs to be edited. Uh-huh. It's the commercial with the TikTok girl. Oh, come on.
I mean, maybe if they need a headliner.
Did he not tell you?
I thought it was in there from yesterday.
Becky G?
Hang on. I do. I think I do have that. By the way, if they need a headliner or someone I know we could call, you could definitely get it.
The gronk's the word. The gronk, gronk, gronk.
If you have the Becky G clip, could you just put it into Vox Pro? Because Rich wants me to talk about something. I listen to the station far too much. And I listen to it with an ear that no one else listens to the station with. As much as I do.
Well, Fred will say, hey, did you hear that thing that happened on the weekend? I'm like, no.
Yes, because you're off enjoying your life. And I'm driving to and from and seeing the Lost City on Sunday. I mean, I'm doing.
You saw that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people did. Somehow that made like $30 million this weekend.
If it was warm, I would have done something else. But it was cold and I had the children. And I said, why don't you guys make plans with friends? And they just both went, no.
You didn't hit the lodge. You should have hit the Great Wolf Lodge. There's no place where we see more Toucher and Rich listeners.
I couldn't have handled the both of them, both of their fighting. It would have driven me insane. I can't. I need to be on my home turf if they're going to fight. All right. We'll just break on time. And we never have to get to this audio if we don't want to. It's just I hear this commercial. Nick's running around like an idiot.
Well, I mean, people are saying they're making suggestions for the Foo Fighters replacement. I mean, there's always 100 miles to York. You always get Yorkie the Clown.
And that's not Jack G. I always get those two confused.
No, Jack G is just, you don't want anything to do with Jack G.
Jack G's in Imagine Dragons.
Jack G.
Yeah.
Thunder. Oh,
this song sucks. I know this song.
But they've got you would be shocked at how many huge songs that Imagine Dragons have. I just saw them. I saw the big ad for them playing Fenway. I'm like, whoa, they could play Fenway?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, Bad Bunny's playing Fenway. And
I saw them at the Garden probably 8 years ago.
But Imagine Dragons?
Yes.
But, I mean, that's only 18. That's like 17, 18,000. Fenway's 30,000. I mean, there's a significant difference there.
Who likes this band?
Kids. Like, I remember when this album was big.
My kids.
I went to my kids' talent show.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, half of the performances were just something from Imagine Dragons.
Kids love it. I waited for somebody outside the garden when the show was playing, and the line of cars that were dropping kids off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And kids were getting out. I was like, oh, I got to rethink this.
My kids just listen to mumble rap.
This isn't fun. Well,
oh, they just listen to mumble rap. That's terrible. But they don't like this.
The kids love this when it first came out.
Every kid. Seriously.
All right, I don't want to hear this anymore. Like, at the age ages 8 to 10. All right, so is this coming in or no? Because now the buildup is really going to make this not pay off.
Well, somebody on the line already, or somebody at Twitter knows what you're talking about. Somebody said knows exactly what commercial you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a commercial for a wonderful product. But the commercial has a flaw.
Actually, there's two people who know exactly what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, all right. So this is, I hear this commercial a lot. And it's a wonderful commercial. And it starts like this. And I said, why
don't you just make Hey, Becky G, can you play your next hit?
I will, as soon as it's released.
We're not usually in the background. but
it's all right.
I thought I'm, you know, my hearing has left me. I thought, okay,
all right.
What is going on
now,
here?
Now, remember, this is a great product. All right, so here we go. Becky G, as obviously, the guy wants to hear her next hit.
Who's Becky G?
I don't know.
Am I supposed to know?
I don't know, but not so fast, Becky G says. Okay. Listen, the hits, they have to come to me. And I say,
Hey, Becky G, can you play your next hit?
I will, as soon as it's released. But I've got another big hit for you. Did you know that with Xfinity and...
All right, so now we're at the point, and I hope our voices don't distract. Now Becky G has gone, and now it's her... She's playing the piano, right? She's writing. Yes.
It's Becky G? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right. But sir, and if you're distracted by her voices, you can't be. So in this commercial, I'm to believe that Becky G has been interrupted while playing piano, to which she's
creating greatness,
of creating hit songs.
Yes.
Okay.
I just want you to listen to the way the piano is being played.
She has 31 million followers on Instagram.
There you go.
All right, Becky G.
Well, here's Becky G playing piano during in Getting Loose.
Did you know that with Xfinity Internet, you get fast, reliable speeds to fit your needs and budget?
Ooh, that's nice.
Best of all, you could save up to $400 a year on your wireless bill when you add Xfinity Mobile.
It's official. That's a hit.
Hey, we're on the radio. Now everyone can get the best value.
After promo, regular rates apply. Compares pricing of top carriers. Xfinity Internet required.
All right, it wasn't cut exactly the way I wanted it, but it's okay.
I don't know what's happening.
No, it's just, I would have had to sit with him and told him exactly what I wanted. I told you that it was very esoteric and no one else was going to get it.
Well, it was, seeing that there were voices. And,
yeah, you know, it didn't come off without a hitch. But like this is what I was going for, okay, this part of the commercial. Yeah, okay. But this goes on for like 20 seconds.
Compares pricing of top carriers. Xfinity Internet required.
She's like, I don't know. She's like playing garbage on the piano. Is the whole point.
Hang on, so this is somebody. I need to find out what she's regularly known for.
I certainly not playing the piano, because during the whole disclaimer. She's playing skip barley tee da ski da, and I go, Becky G, this is no hit.
So it sounds like she's writing the next Snoopy theme.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Someone understands what I was going for. It's not the audio exact, but I would have had to sit with Mike. I understood going into this. I warned Rich that this was not the best road to go down.
So what was that commercial you wanted to talk about? He goes, I don't know, man. It's weird. It's like this thing that I think that only drives me crazy. It's kind of esoteric. I don't know. And I'm like, well, that sounds, let's do it.
No, but... It's not so. I would have had to sit down with Mike, and even then, it probably wouldn't have worked. So there you go,
Becky G. Now I'm looking, and I hear on she's got a Vivo channel, which I guess is the same thing as YouTube.
I don't know.
A lot of followers.
She's just like.
Hey, Becky G, can you play your next hit?
I will. As soon as it's released.
I will. Like, and who's the guy? Like, where'd he come from?
Well, who's that guy? It's his brother. It's her brother.
Yeah.
The guy comes in. He goes, Becky G, could you play your next hit? Like the first thing out of his mouth. And then she's like, you're not the first to ask. But the point is, during the disclaimer, it goes, it's like the Brady Bunch music.
Becky G featuring Charlie Chaplin.
Thank you.
Twirling the cane.
Thank you. Some people are being very understanding and getting what I was going with. It's like silent movie music.
Well, you know, listen, all the things retro make a comeback at some point.
No, it's just like, if she's supposed to be so good, why does the piano suck so bad in the background?
Becky G is playing her next big hit, Chopsticks.
Exactly. Thank you.
Compares pricing of top carriers. Xfinity Internet required.
Yeah.
It's not good.
All right. Skip Bayless, what did you think about that song?
Yep.
All right. Guy, a naked guy in the trunk of the car. Are you still there? Are you still with us? I just got.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah. I guess we all have to go through
it. I'm the son of the Pope.
Anyway, that's free advertising for whatever the hell that was for.
Yeah.
It is true. I don't know who Becky G is, but she sucks at the piano. That's all I know.
Yep.
I'm obviously, I don't like driving, and I'm driving far too much, and I'm driving to places I don't want to go, and I'm getting mad at the commercial on the radio.
Can your internet do that?
Get started with Xfinity Internet for $29.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required.
When you also get Xfinity Mobile. The next
don't wait. Join the millions who save by getting Xfinity Internet and mobile together.
Like, this
go
sucks.
To Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay.
Like,
and
she just said she was writing her next hit. This is not the next
hit. New Performance Pro, customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra, and subject to change.
After
promo,
regular
rates apply. Compares pricing to top carriers. Xfinity Internet required.
It's like someone's going to come walking in. Well, I ought to pound you. I read the story in the fish wrap. We got things to do here.
Give me a C, a bouncy C.
So he said Becky G is Randy Newman in disguise.
No, don't you dare. All right, Mike Gorman will join us. Perhaps he's been annoyed by that commercial as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Toucher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, I don't care for that at all.
So my story is, you know, Grant Williams. Everybody on the team, he sort of named him a Marvel superhero character. Oh, I saw that, yeah. So I have some names for you if you want. And then what he did was he had these, like, custom shoes made with, like, a custom logo on them. So Tatum is Vision, because you know what Tatum's been doing lately with the eyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Peyton Pritchard is Quicksilver. I thought this one was cold. Our boy Luke Cornett, who's just checking in right now, They called him Groot.
Tatum with the foul, and he heads for the bench. And
we've been sitting on that for a while.
Scalabrine, the master storyteller.
Oh, yeah.
I just
Vision. Yeah.
Mike's just silver. All right.
Mike, that made me laugh out loud in my living room. Your reaction.
Could Scalv's effed up that story more, too?
It's not even...
No, it is. A lot of it is Scalv just... It sounded like a bunch of diarrhea.
How much time is left in this game?
I'm obviously a Mike Gorman. I've never been more of a Mike Gorman fan than I was, I think, at that point.
Bravo, sir. Well played.
Grant Williams.
Wasn't the high point.
People say Grant Williams, he's got names, and then there's a logo on the shoe. He calls Jason Tatum Vision. What's Mike supposed to do? Oh, that all made perfect sense, Brian.
I can totally see him in a costume, Scal.
No. It didn't make any sense. You did what you had to do,
but Mike, correct me if
I'm wrong. He was trying to fill, that's all. He was trying to fill.
Unsuccessful.
Correct me if I'm wrong. What makes it even better is that he was about to go into that story, and then they went to a commercial break. He goes, okay, wait. When we get back, I got a story for you.
Right.
And that's the one he told when they returned.
I know.
Yeah.
And during the break, we're all looking at him going, don't do that. No, you don't want to do that.
There's too much for you to keep track of.
Really. You don't want to.
Yeah, you're gonna F the whole thing up from the get. Yeah. All right. Well,
Is he saying things? I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. Absolutely no idea what he's talking about. Well, I know he's given the names of superheroes, I guess, the other guys on the team. But once you get into the sneakers and the logos, I was just like, give me a break here. Let me get out of here.
Oh, that was so great.
Mike, it didn't make sense. way he was relaying the information to you was not in a linear fashion. So you did the right thing.
No, we're not.
You got your feet out of the fire. That's all.
You just wait a minute and you go, 8:14 left to go here in the third.
Yeah.
All right. So, Mike, this is actually somewhat breaking news that I'd like to get your reaction to. Adrian Wojnarowski just tweeted this out. He says, after ongoing surgery for a torn meniscus in his left knee this morning, Boston Celtics center Robert Williams is expected to return within 4 to 6 weeks, a timetable that could land him back in the lineup as soon as the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And this is me assuming things. What it sounds to me is if, you know, there were like two different levels of surgery that you could get for this. I know that there's one that I think is the more extensive, which would take a longer amount of time to heal, but I believe it's a better surgery. But then there is the smaller one in which you can possibly do something down the road that gets you back quicker. I, for one, thought that it was worth it to just do, as good as his team is, I mean, I love this guy. I want him to be the center for a long time. He's obviously proven that he's the guy. I would have felt a little more comfortable if they would have went all in and he missed the rest of the year. I'm assuming that they took the shorter one because of everything I read. I'm no doctor. But what does this mean to you when you hear this news that you could be having him back by round two?
Well, I think it's great news if he can come back. If he can come back at 100%, that'll be the big question.
Yeah,
when you have any kind of surgery like that done, yes, he can come back, but he's not going to be the player he was before. And if he's not going to be the player he was before, I'm more with you. Why don't we just go all in and get him set down the road for the future? But it was interesting because when Ime had his press conference before the game up in the last game we played there, he said, look, he's going to have surgery. And then one of the writers said to him, you know that for sure. He said, for sure he's going to have surgery. It's just a question of what kind of surgery there is. As you said, Rich, there's a lot of different kinds you can have with this injury. They obviously took one that I'm sure doctors say, this is fine. This is what he needs, blah, 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 blah. And also, here's the short version of it. We can get him back in 4 weeks. But again, so much of Rob's game is built on quickness, is built on explosion, is built on a lot of things that I hope the knee is ready to take that kind of pressure in 4 weeks, but I don't know that to be true.
Yeah, Matt Barnes was on ESPN, and I guess he had a similar surgery at one point, and he said when he came back, he was like 10%. He said he came back for the playoffs, but it was very difficult, so you make a good point.
And you know, some guys, like, I mean, if you're a shooter, you know, you just kind of float around on the outside, Doug Robinson, the kid down there for Miami, you probably come back from anything pretty quick because you're not stressing yourself. But Rob's got to play in the paint. He's making his living blocking other guys' shots, not necessarily his guy, but he's switching off guys and getting other guys' shots. So he's got to be very quick. He's got to have a lot of movement. He's got to have a lot of just athleticism. And I don't know whether, again, after your surgery, you're going to be as 100% that quickly. I don't know the answer to that question. I hope it is. But that seems quick to me.
How confident are you in the meantime that you'll be able to find some sort of compensation with a mixture of Daniel Tice moving Al Horford around, maybe even some Grant Williams to kind of fill the void? Are you feeling pretty good about, with all the pieces around them, that they'll be able to at least, you know, keep this team from, you know, I guess I don't want to say falling because they're such a good team, but how well do you think they'll do?
Well, it's interesting because Rob's maturity and his coming to become the player he has become over the last month or two has really made Al Horford's life easier.
Yeah.
And Al can do a lot of things. He can switch off. He can block shots. He can do things that he wouldn't be able to do if he's the center out there and there's no Rob. So Rob's, I think Al will probably be the most affected by the kid's absence. Tice does what Tice does. He comes in, they call fouls on him, and then he gets out again. It's unfortunate, you know.
He complains. It's a vicious circle.
But half the time he complains, he's legitimately right. I've never seen a guy who gets these many bad foul calls on him. They do.
Maybe if he didn't complain so much.
Oh, maybe.
Well, maybe that's true. But you also, you can do 27 with the fingers real easy, and that's what the officials want to do, is that number.
Yes.
So if he's anywhere in the neighborhood when they blew the whistle, it's 27. That's the guy right there. But anyway, getting back to him, I think, you know, he'll probably have to be less aggressive so he can be available for longer minutes, he being Keist. But can they fill the position? Sure they can. The thing with Rob that was so great, and hopefully will be how we see him over the next 4, 5, 10 years, is he blocks shots that turn into fast breaks, turn into points, turn into the building coming alive after the building may have been flat. He's very electric in what he does. Mm-hmm. And so it's not the same thing. Al can't play that same way at 35 that Rob can at 24, whatever he is. So it's going to be a different approach in the middle there. It won't be that spectacular play. There's a block and quickly a fast break and Brown dunks on the other end and all of a sudden the crowd's going crazy. I've been trying to do that a lot, by the way. I hope somebody knows this here. I just lay out a lot because I mean the building is so loud, so into the scene. I just assume, say, hey, folks, this is what it's like to be in the building right now, and just stop talking. But then Scal goes, hey, I got a story to tell.
Their names are superheroes, and Grant Williams, and then there was stuff on their shoes. They call Jason Tatum Laser on the account of that thing he does with his eyes.
He's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that.
Sure.
You're sinking by yourself, buddy. It's on you.
That was great. That was really great. But there is something weird that came up this week that I was completely off my radar. And Chris Casper wrote an article about it. So right now, the way that things are, I mean, the standings as of right now, if they did it the old-fashioned way and it was just the eight, you know, the top eight got in, the Celtics would have a matchup against the Raptors. And the reason why that is so interesting and intriguing is because of the vaccination rules and the travel ability, you know, in Canada. So I had just assumed that most of the players on this team, if not all of them, had been vaccinated. They've been dealing with all this stuff for a while. I don't know why I had a false memory that maybe I had heard most of them go on the record. But then Chris Gasper puts out this article where he, you know, poses the question, you know, are they truly all vaccinated? Because in this last trip, when they went up there, you know, there were a bunch of players who didn't go. Obviously, there was, you know, Tatum and Jalen who said that there were knee issues. And then Al Horford for personal reasons. What do you know? Because, I mean, it's a big deal if you end up having a first round and some of your star players can't be playing. Do you know anything about the status of the starters?
I don't, and I agree with you on a couple of levels. One, you don't want any part of the Raptors because the Raptors are playing very well right now, and they're a good team, and they got a good coach. They've gone all the way. They've won it before. Most of the guys on the team and played a couple of years ago when they got rings. So, you don't want to play them. You want to play the Bulls because the Bulls have been in a free fall for about a month.
Yeah.
And so that's a team you want to play. As far as who's vaccinated and who isn't, I don't have any access to any of that. This has been a really strange season for me, probably the strangest season I've ever had because – we never allowed near anybody.
Yeah,
and, it's gotten a little better over the last couple of weeks. But you never for the 90% of the season, I couldn't go talk to the coach. You know, I used to do the interview with the coach to going all the way back to Doc, and then Doc and I would sit around and talk about golf for 5 minutes after they closed the doors and left. And so it's very different. He's in one room, we're in another. We both have masks on. You have no contact, physical contact, in the area with him. You can't get near the players. So information that I might ordinarily have, I have no idea about. So when you say to me who's been vaccinated, who hasn't, I don't know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't. That was a lengthy list that didn't go to Toronto. And is Toronto going to change the rules for the NBA like the New York City did for Kyrie?
You're asking a lot of Canada. They don't have a track record of doing that. You know what I mean? They've been as tough as anyone. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so that, to me, the big play is who, if it's the Celtics, so be it. But who's going to play the Raptors there, and what's the status going to be? Are they going to, whether you've had the shots or not had the shots, or what's the status going to be? Even now, you know, they only let 75% of the house, I think, in to the games. They won't let the building before for some other reason. They're being cautious.
Yeah.
So what used to be a very difficult building to go in and play in because the fans are so loud now is, you know, I don't know if you noticed that night, but it wasn't any big deal.
Yeah.
I didn't think the fans were in at all. And I thought the Raptors reacted accordingly. They played very tired, even though they were able to pull the game out in the end. That was, by the way, that was on the verge of becoming one of my all-time favorite games, to see those guys come out and play the way they did.
And it was really something.
I mean, because four guys don't come, so four guys come off the bench and they become starters. So you're looking really at playing like your 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th guys off the bench. And they come in, they get 12 points in the first half off the bench, more points than Toronto had off their bench. Those guys just really came out. They played old-fashioned basketball. They all stuck together. It was really interesting to watch them play, and they deserved to win. I really wanted to see them.
They had it if they just didn't get sloppy at the end. That was the problem.
Too many smart turnovers in that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was Derek Williams, Grant. I think they all had some pretty bad.
Grant Williams dribbling the ball off his foot at the end of the game.
Yeah, no, it was just
that hurt. Yeah, but that's you thought that was going to happen in the first quarter. Because instead they played 3.5 quarters of really, really good basketball, and they just kind of ran out of gas. They didn't have any good plays left in them at the end. But it was a fun game to do and a fun game to watch. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking like, wow, we're going to have like big time scout stories in the second half. Thankfully, we didn't have to go that route.
Do you believe that the Celtics are going to play selective basketball in these last couple of games to try to manipulate where they are in the standings?
No, because they can't control the other team. These guys are all scheduled right around the same time to play. So, I mean, you know, like somebody's going to be huddled around the fourth quarter and say, hey, the Bulls are down 4 and the Raptors are up 3. So if we just don't score in the next time we get the ball, but then you get the ball and the timeout and all of a sudden, oops, they didn't score. They didn't. So I don't think you can do it, is what I'm saying, in sync with other games that are going on. If they're days off, they had 24 hours to look at the standings, maybe, but, who are you trying to avoid? I think I'm not afraid of the Nets.
You're not afraid of the Nets at all? Really? That's a tough one.
No.
I mean, that's a tough out. But you don't think that there would be any kind of and that's the thing with this play-in tournament. You don't really know, you know, where everyone's going to be. I'm not afraid of the Hornets, the Cavaliers, obviously the Bulls. The Raptors are going to be interesting. I still think the Celtics, obviously, with all their starters, as long as all their starters can travel, would be just fine. That's a big question, which I didn't even think about until this past week. It is weird.
Yeah. No, it is. And I don't know. I didn't know. I heard Jaylen Brown doing an interview with Chris after the game, and he mentioned his knee being kind of sore. And so he was setting the stage for not going. Al had already missed one game, had two of them for quote personal reasons. Jason, all of a sudden, his knee wasn't feeling very good either. I don't know what was going on there, whether or not it had anything to do with that at all. And maybe they just wanted to rest some guys and give them a day before Miami comes to town, because you got Miami here, you got Milwaukee coming up the end of next week. So you've got the teams in front of you that if you can beat them, you can move by them. And right now, they're sitting. The Bucks have 28 losses. The Heat have 28 losses. Celtics and Sixers both have 29. So this is, you know, we began the game the other night in first, and they finished the game in fourth.
Yeah. So now you're in third. Right.
Yeah. No.
Without doing anything. I know.
Yeah. No. Not to, exactly. So it is kind of fun to watch. I mean, from a fan point of view, I find it fascinating to watch and see who's playing well in the other games. I watched the Bucks and Sixers played a game last night that. The last 5 minutes of that game were as good as any playoff game you'd see in terms of the intensity that was going back and forth between them, and Giannis ended up making blocking a shot to win the game. That's the way these games are going to play out over the next week. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting a week from Monday because Memphis. I don't think Memphis will need the game, so that's going to put Boston in an interesting position and Memphis in an interesting position. By the way, I think Memphis wins the whole thing.
Wow, the whole thing. I mean, listen, the way that they're playing, it's even without, you know, their star, that team's amazing.
Phoenix is a wagon, though.
Yeah.
I mean, getting out of the West is going to be real difficult.
It will be tough. But you think that Memphis over Phoenix?
I do. I think that I do.
Wow. All right.
He's a great player. The kid's a great player. And I do. Without going into a whole lot of detail.
Well, if you're there on Friday, Mike, just know that I will be dominating the crowd. I have 12 tickets to Friday's game.
12 tickets to Friday? The Indiana Pacers are coming to town. Yes. Big game.
Yes.
Let me see. What's the Indiana record here? The Indiana Pacers are 25 and 51
Yeah.
Well, he was able to find 12 tickets.
I have 12 tickets.
So what did we bring in, the team or in-laws?
I made the mistake of thinking that I could get a box for a game, and then all the boxes are sold out. My son had already.
Really?
Yep. They really are. And my son, well, not for the playoffs. And they told me $300 a ticket for the playoffs. And I went, okay, no. So my son had gone and, you know, told all his friends that for his birthday, he was going to a Celtics game because he's very spoiled. I then had to buy the 12 tickets, 9 in a row, and then 3 for the adults. I'll text you. But
bring the kids down to the court.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I will. They're usually cool about that. And then I got a free ticket, so if anyone wants to go to the game, I got one kid couldn't go. All right.
Really, to see the Pacers. You guys, right? Yeah.
Listen, man. Do you think I want to go to this game? All right, Mike. I do it all for the kids, my friend.
All for the kids, absolutely.
Yeah, raising them to really respect money.
Grant Williams is going to score 50 that night, Fred, right. Just for you.
Richie, are you going to see, what's the guy's name? What is that?
You've seen Chris Rock?
Rock? Yes. I'm seeing him tomorrow night. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You are? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be anxious to see. Somebody told me that he had a bit on Will that was in his tour. There's like a 3 or 4 minute stretch that he just kind of dumps all over Will and his wife. I don't think that was not the first time that joke came out, I guess, is what I was told.
Well, what's amazing is that if you go back and watch that clip after, you know, Will Smith yells at him and he goes, it was a G.I. Jane joke, and he yells it again, he goes, oh boy, I could. Like, almost like he was about to unload. And everything inside of him as a comedian knew that that was the right thing to do, but he restrained.
Yeah. Because Mike, if you're in a writing room, because you're doing the Oscars, so you got you and your writer friends, and they know Will Smith, you've been told Will Smith's going to be in the front row right in front of you. How many jokes do you think they told that you could never say on the Oscars?
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, he just loves when, like, her son's friends bang her. So, like, I mean, he probably had, you know, in the arsenal, in the holster, about 5,000 incredible. I mean, hey, we're swearing now. Let's go. All right. There you go.
Yeah. How did Will Smith get in the front row? That's what I would like to know.
Well, I mean, you know, he was.
I mean, that makes you think there may be some setup of something was going to go on here, right?
He was going to win the best actor.
He was one of the nominees for best actor.
Well, he was also like
the. I understand that. But he was, I mean, he was in the prime seat. He was like in the seat if you're going to.
If that was a setup, Mike, then I guess it's the ultimate sacrifice, because Will Smith has sacrificed his dignity for the good of the Oscars.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Yeah. I love the way Chris Rock, he moved well.
He did.
Slap game.
He did?
Yeah, he really moved. He was very graceful with it, I thought. Yeah. Not what he said, just physically, I thought he handled it really well.
Yeah, it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. It was a man losing his mind, and then you couple that with the speech. The audience is already sick of me talking about it, because I could literally spend 4 hours a morning dissecting what happened on that stage in his speech. A man thoroughly trapped with his own demons and secrets. All right, Mike Gorman.
Well, I tell you, if you want to come down on Sunday during a timeout, you and
Friday.
Scal can tell stories. You can tell stories Friday, but you and Scal can tell stories back and forth. That would be good.
Yeah, it will be could be no worse than Perkins. All right, Mike Gorman.
I'll see
you. All right, take it easy.
See you,
there
man.
You go.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich. Nick Foligno and Billy Jaffe scheduled to be on with us, and Billy's here.
Oh, good. Real quick, John had a
I guess, a little math thing, or I don't know if that was a report that you had read, but if you didn't hear it, when we had Mike Gorman on, there was some news that broke from Adrian Wojnarowski regarding Robert Williams. He had his surgery this morning on his torn meniscus, so it's done. And now they know what kind of surgery it is and what kind of timetable you have. And according to Adrian Wojnarowski, he says that he's expected to return within 4 to 6 weeks, Robert Williams. They set a timetable that could land him back in the lineup as soon as the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. But, John, you saw even more of a clarification.
Yeah, Woj had a clarification on that, that there is optimism that Robert Williams could return on the earlier portion of that timeline, 4 weeks instead of six. And that's important because, according to multiple outlets here, the second round of the NBA playoffs, the main draw of the NBA playoffs, Sean, cannot start any earlier than 1 month from today.
All right. Well, he obviously, having not played basketball for 4 weeks, isn't going to hop on a court during a game. So, I mean, there's going to be a little bit more time required. I wouldn't get your hopes up.
But that's what, I mean, they're saying he could play at that point.
Right.
And
he's a very large man who's had a fairly serious surgery. I'm not trotting him out there like the second that that it's possible he could be.
Well, you know my opinion on this. I wanted him to have the most invasive, get it done, keep him out for the rest of the offseason. I mean, I wanted them to go all in and fix this thing for good, or at least as well as they can. I didn't want the quick fix. And to be quite honest, they don't even specify what kind it is. But from what I've been reading, it's one or the other.
They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Who? Adrian Wojnarowski?
About this particular thing. I mean, he can't.
The online doctors are all over this. Well, I mean, you might imagine.
4 to 6 weeks is a big deal.
I guarantee you, this is Wojnarowski got this from the Celtics.
No, I understand that.
The Celtics got their info from the doctors.
No,
that's
fantastic, but it doesn't mean, it means when he would be medically cleared to, what I read that is he'd be medically cleared to participate in activities, and that, and when you're that big and putting that amount of weight on your knees, it's going to take a couple days to get back into it.
It's scary.
It could be scary. You could be Nolan Arenado. Do you know why he's not playing today?
No, I do not.
I don't want to make light of this, but he had a mole removed from his right eyebrow.
Huh.
So hopefully.
So he will not be participating
today
in spring training for the St. Louis Cardinals.
So hopefully today, though,
short-term prognosis is good. He's going to be back in a day or two, though, right?
Again, I mean, you can't.
These things can go either way.
You can't sit out after the mole removal, and I mean, just pop back in.
I'm pouring one out for the mole this morning.
Nah. My wife's always like, "You got to get those mole removals." I'm like, "What dermatologist are you going to that actually checks your body?" Every time I go to the dermatologist, they're like, "Get out of here!" And I have like 18 things wrong with me. Like vitiligo and dry skin all over the place. All right, Billy Javi's here. He has not one flaw. He is here, and the great Nick Foligno will be joining us as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.